We are going to take a step back from the state funeral today to take the longer historical view and discuss how the funerals of past presidents have brought the nation together, even in times of strife. For some perspective, we're going to turn to the KCBS Ring Central Newsline and speak with Louis Bacone. He's a presidential historian and author of The President is Dead, The Extraordinary Stories of the Presidential Deaths, Final Days, Burials, and Beyond. Thank you very much for talking to us this afternoon. How have presidents' funerals brought the nation together in the past?
I think it goes way back to the first funeral, back to George Washington. At the time, the nation was divided. That's when the first political parties first started to develop in the 1790s. And even then, Washington was seen as the one figure that both parties could both put on a pedestal. That it didn't matter which political side you were on, everyone admired Washington. So that was maybe with the first funeral, that was the first time that the nation could come together with the death and the funeral of a president. Obviously, funerals were much more modest then, and not everyone could attend or could see it like they could today.
Has it always been the protocol to include former presidents?
No, not at Washington's funeral. Washington's funeral, there was only John Adams. But no, it wasn't always the protocol to include former presidents. That maybe started with William Henry Harrison. So maybe started in the 1840s. But the first funerals, this is going back to the days before telegraphs, before trains. It wouldn't have been feasible to include the former presidents just because of how long it might take to get the word out that the president had died and then have the presidents gather. A great example is that John Quincy Adams didn't even know that his father John Adams' funeral had occurred. He didn't even know that he was dead yet. So it was 2 days later after John Adams' funeral that John Quincy Adams, who was in Washington, D.C. at the time, John Adams was in Quincy, Massachusetts. That's when he first got word that his father had died. So it took him 5 days from the death to get notification.
Wow. Now, we've been listening to a lot of fond farewells and heartfelt remembrances since the president died. When you look back through history, were there some of these remembrances that were not as fond and warm? I mean, are there some that stand out because they weren't?
Yeah. Well, definitely John Tyler's wasn't fond and warm because by that point, this was 1862, John Tyler had sided with the Confederacy in the Civil War. So he was about to be sworn in the Confederate House of Representatives. So when he had died, the Civil War was still raging. So his death was really barely acknowledged by the former presidents and by the sitting president, Abraham Lincoln. I think that the most striking example is when Andrew Jackson died, and John Quincy Adams was interviewed or was asked about Andrew Jackson. And these two had been just been venomous political foes, so there was no love lost between the two. So John Quincy Adams' response was, he said, Jackson was a hero, but he was also a murderer, an adulterer, and in his last days of his life, he belied and slandered me before the world, and he died.
This was at the funeral?
it wasn't at the funeral, but okay. Someone had asked him, so he didn't go to the funeral.
I gotcha.
And so that was the response from one of his predecessor presidents.
Yeah, Mr. Bacone, thanks so much for your time. Your book sounds fascinating. Again, that is Louis Bacone, a presidential historian and the author of The President is Dead, The Extraordinary Stories of the Presidential Deaths, Final Days, Burials, and Beyond.